Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It seems that in these last days and times that we live in, many Christians find it very challenging to go through the trials and difficulties of this present age. You see, we're not being persecuted in the manner of our forefathers. Our husbands are not being dragged off to prison. We're not being denied food or shelter because of our Christian beliefs. We actually live in a prosperous and comfortable lifestyle compared to many Christians of the past, and even compared to others today in other lands. When trials do come, they often take us by surprise. Also, we live with the backdrop of apostate teaching in America, which says that prosperity and good health follow the Christian, so tribulation can catch us off guard. As a result, there are often many women in the council room who seem to be floundering in their faith in the face of adversity. May it not be so, for God is there for us. He has the answers, and when we do not always see the reasons for or the immediate lessening of our trial, He will give us strength and hope and even refine us. We surely want His presence, and we want to be refined so that we would be as the Scriptures say, reading from 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Then again at the end of 1 Peter, in chapter 5, it says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make ye perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." So this is a recording of four local sisters from Effort of Christian Fellowship sharing in a sisters' meeting about the faithfulness of God. I wanted to explain to you a little bit about the sisters before you hear them, because they're speaking to us as if we understand some of their trials or we know what they've been through. The first sister has undergone many trials in her life, but today she's especially speaking of God's faithfulness during loss. She had two stillborn babies right in a row, and recently her house burnt down. The second sister has also suffered many heartaches. Some of them, but not all, were infertility in marriage, the sudden removal of a baby who had captured their heart and was going to be adopted, the sudden loss of her husband in her early 30s, the loss of two girls that she had been mothering or guardian for 2 years. The third sister had an unexpected heart failure while visiting in another state without her immediate family close by. That resulted in three surgeries and long, long days of rehabilitation. The fourth sister strayed from the Lord, and her sin resulted in pregnancy and the birth of a baby out of wedlock. And she tells about the faithfulness of God to forgive and make things new and beautiful. All of these sisters give us a tiny peek into the great faithfulness of our Lord. May your heart be stirred as you listen, and may we also be ever willing to testify to the faithfulness of God in our own lives.
Well, good evening. I am very nervous, so you can pray for me. When Helen asked me to share, I thought, well, I could never do that. But I just felt it in my heart like I have to. I mean, God has been so faithful to me that I need to. And so I just couldn't say no. So I'd like to start out with a verse from Psalms 18, verse 2. It says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation." And I can just say that is my testimony, that God has been a rock for me when it seemed like, you know, my world was upside down, and He was a rock for me, and I'm so thankful for that. I wasn't sure what I should share about. I know everybody knows that, I guess, my most recent hard time was a fire, but I didn't just want to talk about that, because there's been other times in my life where God has been faithful to me, and so I just thought I'd just go back over my life and just share briefly about some of the more major times that I went through. I would say the first major hard time that, I had a lot of struggles in my life, but the first real hard time was when my brother was killed instantly when I was 25, and it was right after Joshua was born. He was about 2 weeks old, and I thought I was converted then, but I really wasn't, and I know that that was God's grace to help to show me where I really was. I know I felt very alone in my grief. I felt like I was trying to find comfort from God, but it's just I just couldn't reach Him. And I know that God used that time to show me that I really needed Him. And so I just realized that everything that God brings into our life, He does for a purpose, and it's His grace and His mercy and love. I guess the next real major issue that I feel was God's grace very much in my life was the grace to overcome fear. I was a very fearful person. This was all back when we were still in the Beach Church. And actually, it was some after we had left there. But I was a very fearful person to start with. And then something happened. One night early in the morning, I woke up and there was this long-haired man in my bedroom, and I won't go into details about that. But anyway, it put me into such an overwhelming fear. I just, for months, every night I would just lay awake for hours and my heart was just beating, and I just couldn't get over that fear. And I would say probably most every night I had nightmares, and it was such an overwhelming fear, and I just felt like it was going to destroy my life if I couldn't get a hold of it. And God just slowly showed me that I can trust Him with my life, and even if something bad happens to me, that He's going to be with me that whole time, and that I can just trust Him, and that nothing is going to happen to me that He didn't allow. So and I just feel like I'm totally free from that. I have no fear. I can't say I don't have any fears ever, but compared to the person I once was, that I am totally free from that fear. And I'm so thankful that God's grace is big enough to overcome our fears. Then I guess I'll talk a little bit about when I had this two stillborns and the miscarriages. Those were very hard times for me. I guess when I had two stillborn miscarriages in a row, and they were hard for me. The second one was probably harder, but I would say when I had the first stillborn, it was a very hard time for me. I never imagined that something like that would ever happen to me, and I don't know that I really learned all the things that I need to learn the first time. And I got pregnant again. I just felt like God wouldn't do this to me again, that it wouldn't happen again. It doesn't happen twice. And I've learned since that people have gone through a lot more than I have. And but I did come to a time of peace in that pregnancy, and I felt like I'm just going to trust God. And I really did have peace. And, of course, then the baby died at 9 months. And I have to say that threw me into a time where I felt like God had left me down. Like I had trusted Him. And but I just came to realize that, God doesn't owe me anything. A child is a gift from God. And if He chooses to give it to me, that's fine. If He doesn't, then He has the right to do that. And I probably learned after that time. It took me a very long time to get over that. I know that many of you wondered if I would ever get over it, because it took me such a long time. But I know that I did come out of that just realizing in a very real way that God is a good God. And He's good all the time, and even in the hard times. And that He can plan my life so much better than I can. And He knows what is best for me, and He knows what is best for my family. And so I think that when the fire happened, that some of those things really helped me to be able to accepted a lot quicker, and I was very excited about that, although I had a lot of struggles, you know, in the... But, of course, then on December 1st, you all know what happened that day. And I guess I'd just like to start just saying that I had kind of got into the habit of every morning just praying and just asking God to plan my day for me. And it just was easier for me to deal with different things if I knew that I had prayed that. So that morning I had asked God to plan that day for me, and I didn't realize what he would plan. But another thing I just wanted to share is that same day, before Thelma knew it in South Dakota, she had bought me a card that day before she ever knew that that was going to happen that day. And I'd just like to read what it says. It says, "When you opened your eyes this morning, God had already seen your day unfold. He covered each corner of it with his grace, tucked his love into every moment, and tenderly wrapped in it with the quiet strength your heart would need." And that was really a blessing to me when I got that card. But I know that I would just like to say God was very faithful. I just want to bring out a few things that I see. Even that first day in his faithfulness was after we had, I noticed the fire and I called the fire company. I was still on the line with them when the phone line went dead, and if it would have just been another minute or so, I probably couldn't have called them. So I was very thankful for that. It was very hard to see the house burning, but at the same time I thought, you know, if I would be going through this and one of my children would have died, I can't imagine. I mean, it was actually, what we went through really was not that hard, because a lot of people go through a lot worse. Another thing that I was very grateful for that day was we had just bought a whole pallet of wax, and it was in the corner of the garage, and I knew that if that thing caught fire, there would be tremendous fire, because wax really burns, and I think God just kept it because there was the fire was right there, and it didn't burn. So I was very glad for that. It was very overwhelming, all the people that came to help that first day, and I just am so thankful for all of you that gathered around us that day. I can't really describe how it feels to realize that your house is gone and you don't have a place to live anymore. But we were very well taken care of. I think there was at least three places that we could have lived. So that was a blessing to us. It was very hard for me first. I blamed myself. I thought first that I could never forgive myself for burning our house down. I mean, I put our whole family into such a upheaval. I mean, our lives were just totally changed, and it was my fault. But I just was able to come to peace about that and realize that in spite of our mistakes, that God still has our lives in his control. And I'd just like to read a little bit something out of a book that one day I was really down, and I was going down to Claire's to make candles, and the whole way down I just couldn't stop crying. I thought, what in the world, I'm going to come there and Claire's going to wonder what in the world is the matter with me. And anyway, I went there, and I'm not sure anyway how it all happened, but somehow I picked up this book in their bookcase, and I just read in here, it must have been December the 18th, and I'd just like to read a little bit of that. It says, "The gospel is so arranged and the gift of God so great that you may take the very enemies that fight you and the forces that are arrayed against you and make them steps up to the very gates of heaven and into the presence of God. Like the eagle who sits on a crag and watches the sky as it is filling with blackness and the forked lightnings are playing up and down, and he is sitting perfectly still, turning one eye and then the other toward the storm. But he never moves until he begins to feel the burst of the breeze and knows that the hurricane has struck him. With his scream, he swings his breath to the storm and uses the storm to go up to the sky. Away he goes, borne upward upon it. And that is what God wants for every one of his children, to be more than conqueror, turning the storm cloud into a chariot. You know, when one army is more than conqueror, it is likely to drive the other from the field, to get all the ammunition, the food and the supplies, and to take possession of the whole. Beloved, have you got them? When you went into the terrible valley of suffering, did you come out of it with spoils? When that injury struck you and you thought everything was gone, did you so trust in God that you came out richer than you went in? To be more than conquerors, to take the spoils from the enemy and appropriate them to yourself. What he has arranged for your overthrow, take and appropriate for yourself. And that was such a blessing to me, I think, the whole time through this difficult time that I remember that. And I thought, wow, you know, I don't have to just endure this. I can actually use this as a stepping stone to higher ground. And that helped me a lot to accept this is what God has. I guess one thing that helped me also was to be honest when I pray with God and just tell him how I feel. And I know the day they tore the house down, I went over there and I thought, oh, why did I come here? I mean, I just thought, I'm not going to be able to handle this. But as I was walking up to the house, David Cooper came. He just came there and he said, they're tearing down the old so the new can arise. And I thought, wow, you know, that's just what I need. I guess I would have to say through this time that I probably learned more than ever to just take life one day at a time. When I looked into the future and all the things that needed to be done, it was so overwhelming. I just felt like I couldn't handle it. So I learned that if I just take each day as it comes and realize that God's grace is for me this day and all that I have to do today is what this day holds, and God's grace will be there tomorrow for me when I need it. It was very encouraging to me, like I said before, to think of Jesus as a rock. I would say our family life has changed very much, and sometimes I still feel like I can't take it another day, but I know that I can. And then other times I feel like, well, this is really not so hard, so I haven't arrived. But I guess my encouragement that I would like to leave to all of you is, I know all of you have trials, and I'm sure a lot of you have harder trials and hard things to go through than I ever have, but to really believe that God's grace is sufficient, it really is. We don't have to just endure the hard things that God brings to us. I think we can actually, I guess, that David Rubio, he talked about soaring like an eagle. I know that through all of this, I know that I have a deeper belief in my heart that God knows what is best for our lives, and he plans our lives according to what is best, and I just want to trust him and glorify him. Thank you.
Good evening, sisters. I thank you, Barb, for sharing your heart. I'm sure it wasn't easy, but I appreciated what you had to share. And I want to say, too, that I have also found it a very real blessing to pray in the morning, God, just orchestrate my day. And then whatever comes up, then that's what happens. He orchestrated it. And it has been a blessing to me already to just rest in that. When Barb said she wants to read from Psalm 18, I was, oh, she took my verse. But there's lots of verses in Psalm 18. And it would have been fine if you would have anyway. But I have one verse that's especially special to me in Psalm 18. It's verse 30. But tonight, before I came, I was looking over it a little more, and there's more that I want to read from that psalm. Verse 30 is, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord, or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. And that is my testimony. He knows what he is doing with our lives. And I have found this verse, I have a lot of favorites and verses, but this verse especially has been a favorite of mine for a long time. First I want to say that the word buckler, I looked this up over getting ready for this. I looked this word buckler up, and it means shield, to hedge about, protect and defend. And I felt, what more do I need? You know, He is all I need. And I am just so thankful for His all-sufficiency. This verse especially meant something to me when I couldn't have children biologically. God's way was perfect. And I found such a rest in that to just, well, His way is perfect. He knows what He's doing. And then when baby girl, the little foster, I don't know how many of you remember the little blonde, curly foster head girl that we had. She was, I said that backwards, but anyway, you know what I'm trying to say. She was with us for almost 2 years, and then she got taken back to her mom, and I felt like that was almost a time of grieving for me because she was so much a part of my life, and I just really loved her a lot. I was very attached to her, but God's way was perfect. And there again, you know, God knew what He was doing, and I felt like He was preparing me for a greater loss. And then when Dan died so suddenly, you know, God's way was still perfect. But then the last part of that verse became even more precious to me, that He is my buckler and He's the horn of my salvation. I don't need to fret, and you know, He's taking care of me. He knows exactly what I need and how much I can handle. And well, then when things went with the girls the way it did, God was my buckler and He just looked out for me. He was there for me, and it has just been so sweet to trust in Jesus. He is just my dearest friend, and I know that through all of this, God is all sufficient. And sometimes when there's a thought that it came to me, I'm not sure how long ago that I thought of it, you know, how Jesus went through all that He did for us, and then we think, well, maybe we should do something a little bit more for our salvation and how it must grieve Him to know that we think we should, you know, do a little bit more than what He did. And I am just so blessed with the thought that Jesus knows just exactly what's going on in my heart. He knows just exactly what I need. And He knows my heart better than I do myself. Sometimes, you know, when I get lonely or I feel discouraged or whatever, you know, with Jesus, I'm never alone. He always takes care of His own. And then there was a song that meant so much to me. I don't think very many people know it. Last night I shared at a widow's supper, and my youngest sister helped me sing it, but she's not here tonight, so I'll just read it. It says, morning by morning, I wake up to find the power and comfort of God's hand in mine. Season by season, I watch Him amazed, in awe of the mystery of His saving grace. All I have need of, His hand will provide. He's always been faithful to me. I can't remember one single regret in serving God only and trusting His hand. I can't remember a toil or a pain He did not recycle to bring me gain. All I have need of, His hand will provide. He's always been faithful to me. This is my anthem. This is my song. The theme of the story I've heard for so long. God has been faithful. He will be again. His loving compassion, it knows no end. All I have need of, His hand will provide. He's always been faithful to me. And that is my testimony. That song, I feel like that song just fits my testimony so well. And that is my heart, to just trust in Jesus always and know that He knows what He's doing with my life. And I can give Him each of my days to orchestrate as He pleases. And He won't give me more than I can handle. And I know that that is true for every one of you. And I just want to encourage you to, in the morning when you get up and you feel discouraged, focus on God's faithfulness and what He wants to do with your life, and just be sold out to Him, and He can bless you and use you. God bless you all.
Wow, isn't God good? That was such an encouragement to hear that this evening. Just to know that whatever circumstances we're in, the Lord's there with us, by our side. And I want to greet each of you this evening in the name of the one who gives us life and breath. And what a journey some of us have been on. And I want to share some of what I've learned in that journey tonight with you. When Helen called me to see if I would share lessons I learned through this experience, it was just so interesting, because just the day before, I was sharing with the Lord, and I said, Lord, have I learned what you wanted me to learn in this experience? Am I learning the lessons you had for me in this? I want to learn those lessons, whatever it is. And then she called the very next day, and it was like, well, Lord, I guess you want to reaffirm in my mind that there are lessons that you wanted me to learn. I wanted to take you back to the beginning of the journey. I was very much one who needed to have everything in control. And if I wasn't able to control it, well, surely my husband could help me control it. And, I was very much one that, you know, things kind of had to go the way I felt they need to go. And because of that, we were having difficulties in our relationship. And so when I was invited to go along on a trip to Florida with my sister invited me, and she was going with one of her friends, and she said I should take one of my friends along. So I had invited Mary Martin and Miriam went along, and I also took my 16-year-old daughter, and my sister took her 16-year-old daughter, and then her friend took her 16-year-old daughter. So we went down there for a week just to, my nephew lives down there, and we just decided to go down and have a week of being together and just, you know, having some fun just together, the ladies. And well, what a foolish dream, right? I mean, oh my. Well, anyway, they had to leave. My sister and her friend had to leave 2 days before Mary and I had to leave. So I had taken them up to the airport and dropped them off, which is about an hour and a quarter north of where we were. And I dropped them off, and when I dropped them off, it was so clear in my mind that I may never see them again. But I didn't say anything. And after this experience was over, my sister said she just had the very same feeling so strong in her mind that she should go with me back down to where we were living, because we may never see each other again. And, well, you know how you say, well, that's foolish. Why would she stay, you know? But we went our separate ways, and I was on the way down, and I had driven about 15 minutes. I decided to stop and get a drink at a mini mart and use the restroom so that I'd be awake and alert so I could drive the rest of the way. And I went in, I went to the restroom, and as I came out of the restroom, I just felt something. I don't even know what I felt, but I knew something was not quite right. So I went out and I sat in the van a while, and after a while, I did some walking around, and I could tell my legs were getting numb, and I was having pressure in my chest. And so a lady came out and was sweeping the walks, and I said to her, is there an ambulance house around that I could just get the people to come out and check me to make sure everything's okay? And she said, yeah, they're just around the corner. But she said, let me go in and get the manager. So he came out, and he called, and he stayed right there with me. And they came out, and they took my blood pressure and everything, and they said, everything's fine. They can't find anything wrong. So I figured, well, I didn't know what a panic attack was, but I knew women sometimes have panic attacks. So I decided that must be what I'm having because I'm all by myself. I have to find my way back down to where we were living. And I was, and you know, it was strange road and everything. So I decided I was going to go. And I was in contact with my family by the phone. And they told me they were calling me every 15 minutes. As I was going back down there, I don't remember any calls. I don't remember driving down there. And I feel like the Lord was driving me down there because I don't remember any of it. But when we got down there, we went to the hospital and I visited, of course, admitted. And I woke up 3 days later to find out that I had had surgery. But as I was waking up, I just remember so clearly as I was kind of coming to, and then I'd go out again. And every time, this Psalms 23 kept going through my mind. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And that just kept, it was just such a wonderful, comforting thought. And it just kept going in and out as I was coming around. And my sister had come down that lives in Georgia. She was the closest, so she had come down so she could be with me till Willis gets there. And she said she had such a conviction of the Lord to read me Psalms 23, and she resisted doing it because she thought, well, you know, I don't want to read her that, or, you know, for whatever reason, we put in our mind that we don't want to do something. And she said, she, you know, she felt really bad about it later when I told her that, you know, that was going through my mind as she stood there by my side. Well, anyway, Willis finally got down there, and he came down prepared to stay, so I was able to go home because I had to have, probably a lot of you know, that I had open heart surgery, and I had a valve replacement and four bypasses and also a repair done in my aorta. But he came down there. He left his job. He left everything else behind. He come down there and he took care of me. And I don't know how I would have done it if he wouldn't have been willing to do that. And when I think of how our relationship was before I left, it was just a working of the Lord. Because I had went down there and I decided that I need to make a decision while I'm down there what I'm going to do when I come home, because I could not go on living the way we were living. And so he come down there, and when we were able to leave the hospital, we moved into our fifth wheel camper, which he had parked down there, and he did everything for me. He prepared all the food, he did the laundry, he cleaned the house, he gave me baths, he helped me get dressed, everything. And he just did it. You never heard a word of complaining. He just did it. And it was such a challenge to me. Would I have been willing to do that for him if the things would have been reversed? But he put his life on hold at home. Thank God for a Christian boss that left him go and do that. And I had to think so much of the verse. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, I know he didn't give his life, but in a sense he did, because he was willing to come down there and stay down there all those, well, it was around 5 weeks that we were down there. And meanwhile, back home, of course, our family was back there. And thank God for Christian sisters in the church that could take over. And we'd call home and they'd say, everything's fine. So-and-so brought her meal in. We're doing fine. We got a note today from so-and-so. So-and-so gave us a fruit basket, and just on and on. And it was just, well, it was just so amazing. And I want to thank each of you that helped with that and just wish the Lord's blessing on you for that. Another lesson I learned in that was a friend in need is a friend indeed. After we were back and I was recuperating and feeling better, but yet taking it easy, after we came back home then, well, surgery was February 14th and Valentine's Day. Isn't that ironic? And before I left, I had sent, I'd arranged for a big bouquet of roses to be sent to Willis while I was gone. And so this happened on Valentine's Day that I was admitted and had this surgery. And after we come back home, beginning of April, I was sitting around trying to get better, seeing all the work that needed to be done, knowing that there was people coming and doing things for me. And remember, I'm the one that's supposed to be in control. But I had a very big struggle with depression. I thought, why did I even live? I'll never feel good again. And just, you know, the Satan can bring so many thoughts in your mind. And, you know, one day I decided, you know what, this is foolish. I'm alive. I'm here with my family. I was able to come back. Why should I be here wallowing in depression? And from that day on, I didn't have it anymore. I just decided, I count my blessings. I go over my blessings and just, you know, there were just so many things that I had that, why should I be depressed? And thank God I was able to get control of that. That same year in May, that was in April that we came home, beginning of April. May, I started having chest pains, and I was rushed to Hershey Medical Center for an angioplasty, and there they discovered that I needed a stent because my bypasses were closing from scar tissue. And I went in just before the holiday. It was Memorial Day. It was Friday I went in because we were going to have company. My brother-in-law and sister-in-law were coming for the weekend. And we went in there, and they told me that because it's a holiday weekend, there's no one around. So they said they won't work with me because of my situation until they get some more of their doctors in that would be more experienced. So I laid there till Tuesday morning. I was very sedated. I do remember people coming and going, and I did not realize, of course, how serious it was, but my family did. And they knew that the doctors had told them that they can't give any guarantees what's going to happen. It was a very tense situation because they had never done anything like this at Hershey before, that they had put a stent into a repaired aorta. So it was a groundbreaking move for them, and they wanted only the best there so in case something did go wrong. Well, we know God was in control. But anyway, so I laid up till Tuesday morning, and I went in to have that done, procedure done. And I wasn't really asleep for it, but I didn't feel anything, but I could, you know, the doctors were there. I could see the nurse walking around, and she'd come over, don't ask me how I'm feeling, everything okay? And I was fine. But while I was laying there, off to my left, I saw this door, and it was just so clear. It was solid at the bottom, but at the top, it was like a translucent glass. You couldn't actually see through it, but light came through it. And there was just this bright, white light like I never before saw in my life. And I thought to myself, I remember thinking, I wonder what that is or where that door goes to. And as I was drawn toward that door, so distinctly this voice came to me and said, it's not your time to go through that door. And I just got this peaceful feeling. I just knew everything was going to be all right. I relaxed. I just knew everything was going to be all right. And, I came through that, and I really feel that was the Lord assuring me that everything was going to be all right. He was there with me, and everything was going to be all right. That was in May, and then in January I had to go for another one, and it was just a really totally different situation. They knew my circumstances, and I was a lot more relaxed about it, and they were too. And I went in before it was such a bad situation because they told me that what to expect and that it probably would happen again. So I went in and had another one done, and the Lord was very gracious, and I recovered from that in good time, and it was just a much better experience. But when I was pondering over this, Proverbs 3:5-6 came to my mind, and it's a verse that I cling to a lot, and it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And even though I don't know what lies ahead for me, which none of us do, we're all but a step away from death. And it's rather unpredictable. The doctors, they don't know what to tell me either. They don't know what, what the circumstances are. But you know what's so reassuring to me even though I don't know what lies ahead, the Lord does, and He's there. And I'm going to relax in that because I know He's with me regardless what happens every step of the way. And my challenge to you tonight is maybe you don't have a story like some of the rest of us stood up here tonight and said, but you know what? Each day that you get well, you have a miracle in your life. And thank God for seeing another day. And for every little circumstances, you know, I'm so aware of it too. You know, as a drive, little things happen and, you know, you think later, you know, that could have really been bad, but thank God that was a miracle. He saved, you know, he didn't allow anything serious to happen. So just take it as a challenge to your life to just, you know, thank the Lord for every little thing that comes your way and always remember that He's in control and no matter what comes our way, we can always look to Him for what it is that He has for us in life.
Greetings to you, sisters. I kind of have my testimony of what I want to share tonight written down. I tend to be scattered in my thoughts sometimes, so I'll try to do a little of both, but I wanted to stick to the faithfulness of God and what God has shown me through my walk with Him. When Helen called to ask me to share on the faithfulness of God, in my heart I said, oh, that is easy. God has been so faithful to me. I do see it every day in my life. There's not a day that goes by that I do not think of God's mercy and God's faithfulness. I think of Psalm 103. It says, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. I would like to share a brief testimony of how God has been so faithful to me every step of the way, and hopefully to encourage you, my dear sisters, here at Ephrata, that God truly does work all things together for good. As I think of God's faithfulness in my life since I've been a Christian, not to speak of before I was a Christian, how He spared me many times, I think of three major times where I heard God's voice so clear, so distinct in my heart. It was as if He spoke audibly. And all three of these times were when I was quietly laying on my bed, begging God for direction and answers. As I look back at these three times, they were three big turning points in my life, and three times where I really needed God's direction, and I am so thankful for His faithfulness to answer the cries of my heart. In Jeremiah 33:3 it says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." The first time was around 1993 when I lived in Connecticut searching for a group of believers whose hearts were truly committed to serving Jesus. I had been in and out of so many churches, often feeling lonely and depressed, wondering if there were any people in the world who feared God and desired to obey and live a godly Christian life. Through the reading of God's Word, I had come to an understanding and conviction on the head covering and had learned many things, such as the error of divorce and remarriage, the wickedness of television, and the need for modest clothing. I had learned all these things and more before I ever had heard of charity. These things were truly from the heart of God, and I knew it, and I treasured them all. After listening to a tape from charity that someone had given my sister, and then ordering many, many more tapes, I lay on my bed one night thinking, okay, these messages are so wonderful, and it's what I was searching for, but what do I do now? I never traveled anywhere by myself before, and it seemed impossible to connect with these people. This was the first time God so clearly prompted my heart with a clear thought to write a letter to the Tate Ministry and ask to come for a visit. Grace and strength rose up in my heart at this clear answer from God. After years of church searching, He was about to answer my prayer. I remember saying out loud, "Yes, Lord, this is what I will do." So, unlike my character, I wrote a letter, drove 6 hours by myself to a place I didn't know and to people I didn't know, and so began my life in a new place. God had not only given me the idea to come and visit, but the grace and strength to do it alone. God is faithful.
He had answered the prayer of my heart, and he would also use this answer to prayer again later on in my life. Well, most of you know that after being here for about 3 years, my heart began to turn away from the Lord, which led to a backslidden condition for about 3 years. How did it happen? It's still puzzling to me. How can a person turn from the most safest place of peace and rest in the arms of the Heavenly Father, being washed and cleansed from a wicked life by the blood of Jesus, and go out from that love and protection into a sinful, wicked world and again indulge in life's passions and pleasures? But we all have a free will, and that is what I chose, to go out from what I was saved from and wallow in the mud once again. My backsliding was slow and gradual. I believe I was led astray by thoughts of self-pity for being an older single and not being content with the lot God had given me. I have learned that self-pity is my enemy and is not allowed in my life anymore. It is a dangerous emotion that Satan uses to bring Christians down and turn them from the truth, and praise the Lord, I am free from that. But even during those years of backsliding, God was still faithful. He would not and did not let me go. Those 3 years were probably the most miserable years of all my life. Scripture verses would almost go through my mind all the time. I couldn't look a brother or sister in the eyes. I had recollections of my Christian life when I had a clean heart and a free conscience. And my nerves were really bad. I remember one time driving and my nerves were so bad, it's almost like I was stepping out of my boundaries as a Christian, and I knew that. And I was passing by a health food store, and I went into the health food store and I just said, "Do you have anything for nerves?" And they gave me this kava kava juice to drink. It was like 1 to 3 teaspoons of every 4 hours. And I remember just taking the bottle and drinking a quarter of it right then and there. I knew what I was doing, and I believe it was God's mercy. I had dreams of being found out that I was living an immoral life. I had physical illnesses and just outright having a very guilty conscience that followed me wherever I went. These were all signs from God to lead me back to repentance. Romans 2:4 says, "It is the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance." But how was I to get free? Would God ever deliver me, now a child twice fit for hell? I wanted what was right, but I was trapped too deep in sin. My strength was slowly being taken from me, and I was tired of being two people. One day I was faced with the shocking reality that I was pregnant. My life came to a screeching halt as I realized my life was about to be exposed and I wanted to run. For 2 weeks I agonized about what I should do. Many times my face was on the ground begging God to do something, anything. In those 2 weeks I had lost 5 pounds from not eating and I barely slept more than a couple hours a night. My mind thought of every possible option that I could do to run and to hide from this situation, and my heart was very heavy. Psalm 18, "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears." After 2 weeks, I fell asleep one night, and then I awoke to what I thought was a still small voice saying, "You can confess your sin." I sat up in my bed. I remember it so clearly. It was this new thought crying, and I said, "Yes, I can just confess my sin. And that's what I will do by your grace, Lord." I felt grace and strength yet again rise up in my heart, and a peace came over me, and I just knew from that moment on that God would be with me and that things were going to be all right. I fell back asleep and slept the whole night through for the first time in 2 weeks. That decision was probably the most important decision I have ever made. It was a turning It was a turning point in my life, and I often think of that time on my bed when God was so faithful to hear my cry for help once again. That night led to a confession and a very deep repentance that has made me a new person. God is so faithful. The last time I believe God spoke so clearly to me was about a year after I had my baby. My heart was not fully committed to this local church body, and I was kind of wavering as to where to go to church. I visited a few churches and was slowly losing some of my convictions for a separated life. Being in the midst of confusion, as I was ready for sleep one night, God spoke to my heart once again and caused my mind to go back to Connecticut, where God had showed me through His Word all those wonderful truths I had learned, and how He had answered my prayer on my bed that night to write a letter and visit Pennsylvania. It was Him who had led me here, and He still wanted me here. That was all I needed. I decided, yes, I would go to Ephrata and unite my heart with these people and love these people and be a part of these people, and I am so glad I did. God freed my heart that night by the remembrance of how faithful He was to lead me here after crying out for years for a godly church, and everything just seemed to fall into place once again. I would never doubt again that this is where God wanted me. I have bonded so much with all of you, and my heart is so connected here. It is truly my home, and you are all my family. God has blessed me tremendously since that decision, and I am thankful for this. God is faithful. Do I have time to say how He is faithful to me every single day as a single mother? Every morning I wake up with joy and strength and peace in my heart, knowing that God will take care of us. He has met all our needs financially, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Yes, there are many challenges being a single mother, and I have times where I would just love to have a leader's input or just to tell me what I should do in a certain situation. Sometimes when I'm hammering something or cleaning out a rain gutter when it's raining and I'm poking away with a stick at the clogged gutter on an 8-foot ladder, or trying to learn the ins and outs of my furnace or well pump or lawnmower or snowblower, I have often said to Amber, "Amber, this is a man's job. We need a man." And then we laugh together. But God always gets us through, and I am very content to live the rest of my life serving Jesus single if it is His will, and teaching my daughter to love Him with all her heart. She is the best gift outside of eternal life that God has given me. She brings me a lot of joy, and I don't know what I would do without her. God has truly worked all things out together for good, in spite of my failures and shortcomings. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out! To sum up my testimony, God is faithful. He is a rock, a strong tower, and a strong deliverer, a refuge for us. You can trust Him. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. His love and mercy have no end. His greatness is unsearchable. He is gracious and full of compassion. He is a father to the fatherless. He is a light to those who walk in darkness. He is good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all that call upon Him. He sets the vilest sinners free. He's a God of the second chance. He gives peace when life's trials seem overwhelming. His way is perfect. He never makes mistakes. His ways are higher than our ways. He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. This is our God. I will forever be devoted to Him for all that He has done for me. God is faithful. Amen.
If you're not convinced now, then you would be a hard person to convince that God is faithful in every circumstance. And knowing the four women, it also seems to me that they passed over very lightly some of the difficulties and trials they went through, which was the right thing to do. But in my heart, I sometimes even thought, does everyone here even know the depth of the struggles that they had to face. I see nods from sisters who've been here a long time that have walked with them and known that when they stood up here and testified, it looked easy and as if the strength of God made it easy, but it didn't. All four of those sisters, I was with various ones at different times, and I even remember, you know, being up at the hospital with Ruth when she heard the terrible news that it was going to happen all over again. And I remember her saying, but it was repaired. I mean, just the devastating news that day and her whole family, and being with Barb different times, and with Melanie even. I remember the night of her confession and the depth of her grief. And Ida's in our cell group, and she's shared even more in detail about the faithfulness of God and how he was. And during those times, it wasn't as easy as it sounds that it was. And yet, he really was there for them. And it's been through the years, all four of those ladies in different ways have been a testimony to us who have been through other types of trials. And as we've watched them, it's not them that we're looking at, but the faithful God behind them. And there are other sisters in the room that have had as difficult a trials, or maybe more difficult, and some of them secret trials and difficult. Even some that are unmentionable trials. We got a call today from a lady whose trial was so deep and so incredible that it can't even be shared with sisters. And sometimes when that kind of thing happens, I think, my, how will they prevail? But the answer is, they will prevail because God said that they will, and they will. And we want to have our eyes looking up to Jesus, knowing that there is nothing too big for him. There is nothing too complicated for him, or too involved for him, or there's no mistake that we've made that's too big for him to be able to pull us out of, or no pit that we've even dug for our own selves. Sometimes it's a pit we've dug our own selves that he can't pull us out of, or no disaster that's a surprise to him. And that's one of the things we heard, I think, repeated from the sisters, that he knew what was going on all the time. You know, Barb started out by saying that she had to convince herself that there was nothing that could happen to her that God didn't already know about, and that he wasn't going to allow something to happen. Things weren't out of his control ever. And many of us were at Danny's funeral. In fact, raise your hand if you were at... And all of the sisters that raised their hand could testify to the sisters that weren't there that the entire time was, in a measure, a celebration of how faithful God was, and that the presence of God was so, so strong there. And when the family would sing, and even at the graveside, the presence of God was so strong there that there would be no doubt in anyone's heart that God was there. You know, some people doubt God. Some of the people in the world, they doubt God when a trial comes. But during that afternoon, there wouldn't have been anyone who would have doubted that God was there. His presence was so real. So, anyway, I'm thankful for the encouragement from them. And you might think, well, this was kind of a sad evening because we had to listen to some of their burdens. It was, because it says, bear ye one another's burdens. And if you were feeling in your heart that you felt like you were going to cry, or that you were crying, or you felt so burdened down, that's the joy of fellowship, in a way, is that we can feel each other's burdens. And we hurt for them when they hurt, and yet we rejoice that there's hope in God for all of these things. And some sisters here may be going through something that's very difficult right now. In fact, I know there are a few. And yet God is big enough for that too. And we can rejoice in knowing that he has a mansion prepared for us. For years, when I was struggling with some health issues and a lot of pain that was unexplainable, didn't seem to go away, one of the things that I would do is find out or retreat back to the place where I simply was content with the fact that Jesus had saved my soul. And I remember so often I would just sit on a swing outside and sing, "It is well with my soul." Because that's the whole bottom line, is that all else around us can be chaos or difficulty or trials or heartaches. But if it's well with our soul, then we can just rest in that. Jesus saved me and set me free. I was a sinner, and now I'm free. And one day I'll live with him in eternity. And I found that if I could just go back to just that thought, that then I could face anything else, because what else mattered? Now, if I had had all of those trials and Jesus hadn't set me free, then indeed the trials would be heavy. But he has set us free, and he bought us and thought we were worthy enough to buy. All of those thoughts are enough to just lift our eyes back up to him and say, what a friend we have in Jesus. And that's enough. And who else in the world, what other people in the world can say that I have a friend, and my friend is the God of the universe, and he bought me, and he's going to deliver me? No one else can say anything like that. So, anyway, we rejoice tonight that the four sisters that shared with us are walking with Christ, and they didn't allow these circumstances to damage that part, and that they're trusting in him and looking to him. And we should be encouraged to pray for one another in these areas, and also to look up scriptures that tell how faithful God is, because we are a church here, not just a local church, but a church that does a lot of ministry. And for some people, it's been hard to be in a church that ministers a lot to outsiders, because they think, well, maybe we don't get enough here. But that's where God has led each one of us, and that is the church that we belong to. And because of the tape ministry and the Remnant magazine and things that actually we're blessed by and brought most of us here, but because of that, it means that we all spend a lot of time or come into contact with a lot of hurting people that come from other situations. So we're really not just a local body, but a ministering church. And it's a privilege, but it's sometimes overwhelming. And I think it's good for us to remember that we can point others to the faithfulness of God, even if you feel like, what can I say to this person? How can I help this person? How can I help a person that's writing a letter and they've been through so much? And what can I say to someone when they tell me things that are incredibly difficult situations? And the answer is that we can always give testimony that our God is a faithful God, because he is. And that's the way to counsel anyone, is turn your eyes upon Jesus. He's so faithful. So we want to use these testimonies also to be able to minister to other people that our God is a faithful God, and we're glad to serve him and glad that he's our rock and our supporter. Okay, well, I think we're just going to be dismissed, and we're going to have a little time of fellowship. And there's some, maybe if the ladies who set up will also kind of keep a watch on the table, just see that everybody goes through the line and everything's smoothly, everything's okay. And I think then there's also some ladies that volunteered to clean up afterwards, and you can kind of keep a watch on things. And thank you for your help. Let's bow our heads. Yes, Jesus, we knew that you're faithful, but every time we hear the testimonies like this, we remember once again that you can take us through the deepest waters, Lord, that you can take us through trials that we thought we couldn't bear, Lord, and that you'll be with us, Lord, in loss of children, in loss of housing, in sudden sicknesses, Lord, that you'll be with us, Lord, when we fail you. You will have open arms to receive us once again, Lord, and give us back our life and our walk with you, Lord, that you'll be there to be beside us if we're not able to bear children, and you'll be there if things look like they're going the wrong direction, Lord, that you are going to be there. We want to depend on you, Lord, and we want to have the joyful kind of life that reflects the security we have in you, Lord. Thank you for being all we need, Lord, and for always being there for us. And we thank you for these four beloved sisters, Lord, who have given us this testimony, Lord. We thank you for their lives and that they are walking with you, Lord. And we want to bless you for your goodness in it. And yet we also want to see what a blessing it is to have women among us who are walking in faith, Lord. Please help us all to walk in faith and to look for you for all of our needs. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.